Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Cathode Ray Mission. I'm your host, Adam Ferens, and joining me today on a Saturday instead of a Friday are my guests, Bill Reynolds. Say hello.
Hello.
And Hugh Kenneth David. Say hello.
Hello.
Now, today's episode is going to be the first time in quite a while that we've done a non-English language program. The last one, I believe, was about 5 months back, when we did HIMOD. Today, however, is the Danish political drama Borgen. Borgen means the palace or the castle. It is short for Christiansborg Palace, which is where the Danish government is seated, all the different bodies. And this series, which ran for 3 seasons and is going to be coming back probably next year on Netflix for a 4th season, is about, or should I say focuses on, the first female prime minister in the history of Denmark, as well as her family life, and it also has good-sized stories that delve into the relationship between politics and the media through the characters of a reporter and the spin doctor of the prime minister. So, Bill, I know that you have raved about this show for years just like I have. How did you first come to Borgen?
Well, the thing is that I lived in Copenhagen for a year, and I even learned some Danish. My mother came to visit me, and we took a tour together of Christiansborg Palace, you know, which, as you just mentioned, is where the government of Denmark resides. And I had Danish friends. I really came to love the country. I would, if my job hadn't gone away, I would have loved to have lived there. And to this day, I would love to live there. So anything Danish, I have a strong predilection for. My first Danish series, I've loved Danish movies and literature in translation. I'm not that good at Danish. And then I saw a couple of cop series, Ornen and Kymene Odyssey and Reisaldet, which I got the DVDs from Australia because they weren't out anywhere else. And, of course, the Australian DVDs had English subtitles. And then when I heard about For Beatleson, I got DVDs of that. And then not long after that, I got DVDs. I heard about Bourne, so I got DVDs of that. So I think I probably watched it on DVD not long after it aired in 2012. And, yep. I've raved about it ever since. I also, dating back probably to the original UK House of Cards, I've always felt that parliamentary systems produced better drama than the U.S. system. With all due apologies to Adam Sorkin, I thought The West Wing was a real snooze. You know, partly because of the structure of the politics, it just wasn't as interesting. And then Danish parliamentary system is even more interesting to me than the UK parliamentary system, because the UK had, you know, or at least until the Liberal Party committed ritual seppuku by forming a coalition with Tories, you know. And now, you know, British, you know, at most had three viable parties, and now they've only got two. Whereas a lot of other countries, you know, Italy, Israel, and certainly Denmark, you know, with a bunch of parties, the formation of coalitions, which really is a key part of the drama in Bonn. The formation of coalitions is a large part of the interest and something that I'm really drawn to. I think it's fascinating. It's much more fascinating than American politics with, you know, basically two parties, although they have, you know, each of the two parties contains a number of little parties inside it that you know, aim for different things, but the power really, you know, ramps up to two parties, and that's interesting. You know, Borgen was fascinating because of the coalitions and all the maneuvering that Birgit had to do to put together a ruling coalition.
Yep. Well, you know, you mentioned Middleton, and that's of course original title for The Killing, which got remade over here, a fair enough remake, I have to say. I liked it more than, at least the first season, I liked more than the remake of The Bridge, which had a fine cast, but was a bit of a snooze otherwise. But the original for Brittleson is excellent, and really does deserve a better release over here than it's gotten. So,
it's coming back on Netflix, I believe.
Well, it would be nice if they finally bring it back. Hugh, what about you? How did you come to Borgen?
So over here in the UK, they had on BBC4 when they were looking for the next thing to do after Four Bridles and The Bridge, and it was just kind of one of those things where they were like, okay, Danish is doing well, and it was a fairly recent pickup at the time. So that was part of how I came to it. But then this was during the time period when I was working on the short-lived TV magazine Cult TV Times. And so we'd done our zero issue and we were doing issue one, and Arrow Films decided, because they had the license for the DVDs and Blu-rays, to sponsor a convention based around Scandi TV, and it was called Nordicana. So we went to that first year, and of course, Borgen was the big focus of that convention, and there were two panels in particular that were absolutely staggering. And at this point, I'd only seen the first season. I hadn't actually seen the second season, but my friend I went with, she'd seen the season two, and I actually found the feature that I had her write for the magazine while I was researching this, and that put us in good stead with Arrow, so we were able to get hold of discs and review them and all that kind of thing. So, but yeah, it's quite close to my heart, not just because of the show, because I think the show is wonderful, and I think we were very lucky to get it in the UK, but also because we got to meet not just the star of it, Knudsen, but they did a panel with cast and crew. So we ended up with creator Adam Price, we had the head of Danish station DR itself, Ingolf Gabold, and they even managed to rope in a British professional fan, Paula Milne, who wrote The Politician's Husband, because she was a huge fan of the show. And they even managed to rope her into the panel. So we had this 9-person panel just about Borgen. And it's rare that you get that opportunity to dig into a show. And the Q&As were far above the usual fan standard because of the kind of people who came to this. So, yeah, so it remains close to my heart for a number of reasons.
So my next question is going to be a little jumping ahead here, maybe, but we before we get into the show itself, are we all looking forward to the next season? Because, you know, I mean, I came to this show after I began my project, my TV project, and I kept seeing this show listed, Borgen, and I kept you know, hearing that, oh, it's really good, it's really good. And then I found out, oh, it's a political show now. You know, I love history and politics. I've got education background in those. So I took a chance. And I think probably within the first maybe 5 to 15 minutes, I was totally hooked. I had all three seasons watched in about 2 weeks. I just blazed through it. And, you know, I think that while the show ends in a satisfying way, you know, there's obviously places they could have gone. And now that we're getting that fourth season, I'm glad to see it. But I just want to know, are you guys happy to see it, and are you looking forward to it? So, Bill?
I have faith. Like you, I think the ending of season three was very satisfying and also very realistic. I mean, I could easily see that happening in that type of political environment. But I have faith in the showrunners and the people involved that I don't think they would go back to the well if they didn't think they had something to say. So I'm very positive about the new season and really looking forward to it.
And you, Hugh?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm in full agreement with Bill on this. Again, I think it comes down to, you know, knowing how much of the original cast and crew are involved. You know, given that we know that the original creators are coming back, there is a much greater chance of what comes our way next year being in line with the quality we've seen before. And certainly, I think it's not a bad time politically, I think, for it to come back. I think right here, right now in Europe, with everything that's going on, because we should note that when the show originally aired, they still hadn't had their first female prime minister. That actually, the reality came after the fiction, unusually. And a lot of the ideas, I mean, Knudsen was saying that she was walking along the streets and there was a big hoo-ha about a teacher's strike and people were coming up to her saying, well, this would never have happened if you were in charge. You know, I feel like the Danes would be feeling something similar now. And certainly it's been a tumultuous year or two in Europe and among, you know, not just for the reasons globally, but for specific EU reasons. And I think I'd be very interested to see how everything plays out. And if they are going to be daring, I really, really hope they address Brexit somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, I want to ask, is this show really an ensemble, which I think it really is a bit of an ensemble, or do you feel it's more of a showcase for Sissy Babbitt-Knudsen, who, you know, is extraordinary in her role but as Prime Minister? So which is it, Bill?
I think it's an ensemble with three major characters. I mean, you know, you look at other characters like Birgit's husband, you know, is a key character, and there's the leader of the Freedom Party, Ole Testrup, who is that cranky old guy who hates refugees and, you know, he's like the closest the show comes to the old right, but, you know, he's about, the actor is dead, by the way, so he's not going to be in the
Ole Testrup as Sven Aggie Sultan.
Is what?
That was the
Sven Aggie Sultan, yeah.
As Sven Aggie Sultan, yep.
Yeah, he is now deceased, so he will not be in the new one, but I thought he was a fascinating character. But really, it was almost a three-hander in that Sidsip playing Birgit and Pilo Aspik, who played the spin doctor you mentioned, Kasper Juhl. Yeah, and who, by the way, he had a small role in For Beatleson. And
then went on to Game of Thrones.
Yeah, he was one of the leads in a terrific Danish historical war series, 1864. And then
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I strongly recommend it. And then Birgit Jørgensen as Katrine. She was the other major character in my view. I mean, I think there was a lot of time spent and, you know, spent profitably on her relationship with her boss and her relationship with Kasper. Because they, you know, had a relationship together at one point. And Birgit, I actually thought Birgit Jørgensen would have a better career after Bourne, because both Pilo Aspek and Sita, you know, have gone on to bigger and better things. But aside from an Ibsen play that she did in Norway and a guest role on Game of Thrones, I haven't seen that much. Oh, speaking of Game of Thrones, Pilo Aspek is single-handedly responsible for me stopping watching it, because his character of Ewan Greyjoy was just more annoying than I could contend with. So
I'm going to say this: I hated the character, and you know, when I saw him show up in Game of Thrones, I'd already seen Borgen, and I was like, oh, they hired a good actor. I was like, oh, for a rotten character. And you see, the thing is I don't just think that he's a villain, obviously. I actually think it's a bad character. I don't think that there's much to that character. I'm not even sure that you
can... Yes, I agree. In my view, it wasn't his fault. It was the writing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's why it mystifies me that show won, what, 3 Emmys for writing? How the fuck did that happen?
Yeah, you and me both.
I mean, and you know, we both mentioned, we all mentioned it before, how, you know, I have to digress here a little bit, but, you know, Game of Thrones won Emmy after Emmy after Emmy, and it consistently beat Better Call Saul. Better Call Saul has, like, 85% of the crew, including the writing, production, and directing staff, that Breaking Bad did, or at least it did when it first started out, and that is a lot like how, you know, it's looking like we're going to get pretty much the same production staff as much as we possibly can from series 3 of Borgen on series 4.
Yeah,
and that should have a similar effect in making it very, you know, not only high quality but having the continuity be there. How in the name
Agreed.
Of hell, other than popularity and bowing to the middle, did Game of Thrones beat out shows like Pose and Better Call Saul?
I have absolutely no idea.
In things like acting and writing.
Mm-hmm. Good question.
But you know, I digress. So back to Borgen. Back to Borgen. Oh, where do we go next? Where do we go next?
Ensemble question. Ensemble versus showcase.
Yes. So is there anything else you want to add to that, Hugh?
No. I mean, I think you guys are absolutely spot on. Great cast, great ensemble.
But,
Hello?
Are you there?
Hello?
Yep, we're here.
Hello?
We're here.
Hello?
Yep,
we're all here.
I got disconnected for a minute.
Okay,
yeah,
no
this is the problem with Blog Talk, unfortunately. Every once in a while we start to get, as Carl likes to say, raptured.
Yeah, exactly.
And as
so,
Hugh can
attest,
when he did the David Simon show with Aaron and I, there we are about to put a nice final 15-minute bow on everything, and boom, it kicks us all off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was fun. So yeah, so
we still need to come back and finish that. We still have to do a homicide show, I think. But my next question is, and I'll start this one with you, Hugh. What theme or themes do you think Borgen explores?
I think the most important thing I think that comes out of it thematically is the notion of what democracy in practice actually needs. So the reality, not the ideal, but the reality. This idea that if you're going to do democracy properly, it needs patience, it needs negotiation. Coalition is inevitable. I mean, Britain only had its first real post-election coalition very recently compared to, you know, wartime efforts. Whereas this is, and people were freaking out here. That was unheralded. And it's like, well, Germany's done it for years. Denmark's done it for years. Everywhere else in Europe has, or not everywhere, but enough nations have done it for years that it shouldn't be a big deal. And I think for a lot of British people in particular, watching Borgen was a real insight into the reality of that, of what coalition means on a day-to-day basis. And while that sounds more practical than just a theme, I think that's a really big deal when you live in one of the last remaining monarchies in Europe and also a place that still has ties, you know, state and church together. I think it was really eye-opening in the same way that the West Wing was an amazing, for a lot of people in Britain, the West Wing was a real primer and education on how things work on some levels in America.
You talk about reality versus idealism there, and I think that is something that, you know, Borgen is definitely a more realistic look, whereas West Wing wears its heart on its sleeve and is definitely more idealistic, sometimes to its detriment, sometimes not. But I definitely think that Borgen is the headier show in terms of dealing with issues head on, directly.
I mean, yeah, the cast and crew themselves felt that they were aiming for a degree of idealism. I mean, obviously, the West Wing was a huge inspiration to them, you know. And Knudsen was saying that coincidentally, she'd actually finished binging it the night before she got the call for the job of this show. And of course, there is an episode where they directly reference Bartlett as a president of the States at the time. So technically, it's in the same universe. And I think I like that little homage. But I agree with you. I think it is not only more realistic, I think it's more honest in its, and I think that's what I would expect from Scandinavian dramas in general and Danish in particular to be that. And I think, but it's also why it would be very, very difficult to do this kind of show in this manner elsewhere. I mean, people have striven for it, but yeah, I think it's fairly unique. I mean, Danish politicians at the time were saying that there were moments when they were watching and they were kind of like freaked out by how close to their daily reality it was. And I think that speaks volumes to the achievement of what the show is trying to do. And as you say, to balance that out.
Yeah, you know, I think that really, for me, this conversation has clarified really for me that if there's a single theme, it's the theme of compromise, both the negatives and the positives,
yeah.
You know, both the personal and the professional.
Yeah, agreed.
So, Bill, what about you?
Yeah, I think, as I mentioned before, the main thing that drew me to it was the politics of small parties and coalition. And, you know, I was thinking about what we have in the U.S. that comes close to that, and really the only thing is caucuses like the Black Caucus or the Tea Party Caucus. I forget what they call it. It's not that. But caucuses don't really have a great deal of power outside of making noise, whereas small parties in coalition can make or break the coalition. I mean, the number of times that Brigitte had to make decisions between supporting something she didn't like or losing a coalition partner, those were by far my favorite episodes because, I agree that, Adam, that it's more honest because it's, in my point of view, the system itself is more honest because you get, people, small parties representing people with particular interests. The only thing that's missing is proportional representation, which I think is fairly key to having a government of small parties in coalitions.
And that's one of the reasons why I don't think we'll ever get it here in the States. But, my next question is there a real comparison to be made here? Two shows like, say, The Thick of It or The West Wing. We've discussed that a little bit, but what do you think, Hugh?
I think The West Wing comparison is inevitable. They invited themselves on the show. They the press at the time, that was something they specifically mentioned. And as I mentioned earlier, there's a deliberate fictional tie-in. So I think it invites that comparison. I think, as you also said earlier, it holds up better, and it exceeds that that the expectations that such a comparison would make. I do think that it's very interesting you bring up The Thick of It, because The Thick of It obviously is pure satire, right? That's all it is. Despite who Iannucci is as a showrunner, it's very much lacking in either hope or ideals, unless we see ideals being dashed by the daily reality of the British political sphere. It's not interested in lifting you up. It's interested in making you groan, laugh, and cry. And I think in that sense, it's darkness to light. I think of it is politically accurate in a number of ways to a specific era of British politics, but it is also thoroughly depressing to realize that. Borgen manages that depression at the reality of politics it still has a ray of sunshine coming through. And I think that makes it very, very different. Certainly The Thick of It, I think, is exactly what the kind of show we deserve in Britain. Because a lot of people were saying, why can't we have things like Borgen? A lot of British politicians were saying, where's our Borgen? Where's our West Wing? And it's like, well, you're not going to get it, guys, because that's not what you deserve. The Thick of It is they deserve.
When you're acting like Malcolm Tucker and crew, you're going to get Malcolm Tucker and crew.
Precisely. Precisely. So I think Borgen is a very different beast, but since all three of us have teaching experience, I think it's the perfect contrast and compare. West Wing is a comparison, The Thick of It is a contrast, and there's a lot to be gained from placing them side by side. But I think Borgen does stand alone from the pack.
Yeah, and the thing is my political shows are ranked, Yes, Prime Minister, The Thick of It, West Wing, and Borgen. But as I rewatched Borgen came, it jumped up very close to West Wing, and I'm going through West Wing. And West Wing holds up in some ways very well, and in other ways not. Borgen has jumped from the upper 50s to the low 40s. And West Wing, I think, is inching towards the upper 30s, low 40s. It'll be interesting to see if, when I'm done with my rewatch, Borgen has, come to be my number three political show instead of my number four. But, despite having that doesn't mean that I don't think that it gets politics and reality better than West Wing. There are just things in West Wing that, despite the issues the show has, it's maybe a little, it maybe works a little more in some ways, and let's be honest, for me in some ways, and that's probably, I'll be completely honest, there are very few things I've enjoyed on television more than seeing Martin Sheen as President Bartlet give someone hell. you know, honestly, as much as the show was called The West Wing and it was about the staff, if we're being honest, Martin Sheen really was a lot of times the best of the male characters outside of perhaps Charlie and some of the stuff they did with John Spencer as Leo or Richard Schiff as Toby Ziegler. But that's a discussion for the West Wing show coming up at the end of the summer. So what about you, Bill? What are your thoughts on this?
I am massively cynical about. I make Camus look like Barney the Purple Dinosaur. I am massively cynical about politics in the U.S. and the U.K. So I have not seen a lot of West Wing, but what I have seen strikes me as incredibly naive. You know, like they wanted to paint Martin Sheen's party as good guys. And in politics, there are no good guys. We'll get to Morgan in a minute. That's one reason that I don't like it. I think it's way too naive about American politicians, most of whom are utterly ghastly.
And that's one of the reasons why I actually do like... The fourth season and then the last two seasons, maybe in some ways more than the early seasons, because Sorkin started to correct some of the idealism of the show just as he left. And then whoever brought in to take over after he overindulged himself when he took over after Sorkin for season five, whoever he brought in for the end of season six and season seven when they did the election story with Jimmy Smits and Alan Alda, suddenly remembered that, you know, there's such a thing as nuance and gray areas and that you can disagree respectfully. And, because suddenly in West Wing you have a conservative Democrat and a progressive Republican, and it's, you know, you have like a pro-choice Republican and
that's never going to happen.
Well, obviously that's never going to happen, but it's an interesting thing to show, and they explored how much of a unicorn this was. There's even a line, I think Josh Lyman says, wait, is this even allowed? He like looks around like he expects the universe to explode at any moment.
That's funny. But, all right, now the thick of it. I'm also massively cynical about UK politics, and I think the thick of it was very realistic, with one exception, and that exception is Malcolm Tucker. Me Too, and given, you know, the fact, you know, I mean, this was, you know, the thick of it was obviously before the what was his name, Sal Rudin? Something Rudin. Rude for Rudin. You know, before that came out, you know, I'm not sure that even a whip could get away with being that abusive, you know, to everyone who doesn't run away fast enough. Which, of course, was the best part of the show. You know, I thought Capaldi's Malcolm Tucker was hilarious. I ate it up. But it was also, to me, the least realistic part of the show. But the thing with, the thing with different ministers in the same government, different departments, you know, undercutting each other and feuding with each other and trying to sabotage each other, you know, and everyone hanging on to their jobs with their fingernails. All that I thought was extremely realistic. So Malcolm Tucker was a thing that you put up with in the show because he was very entertaining. But other than Malcolm Tucker, I thought the show was 100% on point. Now we get to Borgen. Borgen, at the time it was broadcast, was, I think, fairly accurate and fairly honest. And
yeah.
But here is something they will have to deal with in season four. The center-left Danish government, in an attempt to, you know, in the real world here, because I have friends in Denmark, the center-left Danish government suddenly turned on immigrants. You know, they for one thing, the Danish customs was allowed to confiscate permanently anything of value that refugees had with them when they were coming into the country. And so the center, you know, my friends in Denmark are absolutely, you know, were absolutely horrified by this, you know, and we were commiserating back and forth on Facebook, you know, what has become of our wonderful country. You know, because I have always admired the Danes. I mean, not many people know this, but the Danes, like 24 hours before the German army invaded in World War II, the Danes, using everything that floated, got all of their Jews over to Sweden. I mean, there's a monument in Tel Aviv to Denmark because they managed to save all their Jews before the Nazis came in, you know.
Yeah.
So I didn't know this either. I didn't know this until I lived there. And you know, the manager of the hotel where I was working, he was Jewish, and he had been in the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces. So he's like telling me all these stories about how wonderful the Danes are. And now I got that, you know, now I'm reading about the Danes confiscating the goods of Muslim refugees and that's like so un-Danish to me. And my friends thought it was un-Danish. I mean, it's like an appalling change of character, like they had a brain transplant or something, you know. It was like, yeah. Ove Svend, the head of the Freedom Party. It's like he suddenly took over.
They started to point towards some of these issues that were popping up when the show ended. So I do wonder if you're not onto something, and this isn't, you know, a thread that Adam Price and his compatriots aren't going to. For those who don't know, Adam Price is the creator and showrunner of Borgen.
Right.
He may be following that thread. But you know, there's just been so much that's going on. You know, and that's actually one thing I have to say. Price has done some other stuff, but none of it quite works as well as Borgen. And just as an aside, you know, I guess he has a background as a chef, which really explains why every time you see food in this show, it sounds like it's like something delicious, and it looks like something scrumptious. Because, like, in season three, when you see Brigida and her boyfriend cooking, or they're at the restaurant, oh, my God, I want to eat that food.
Well, if they don't address, you know, the sudden, you know, lurch to the right, you know, in terms of refugees and immigrants on the part of the Danish people, which is what drove the center-left party to all of a sudden abandon its principles. If they don't address that, then it will, you know, no longer be as honest a show.
No.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So my last question or two is where does this fit in with the rest of Danish drama? Hugh?
I mean, you know, Bill was saying at the start about how he came to it and sort of the other kind of big successes from beforehand, and I think there is a degree to which it is not, it looks on the surface like Scandi drama from before, But I think it does do its own thing. I think there is a degree to which it moves the traditional Scandi drama format away from doomy, gloomy thrillers and murder mysteries, and it attempts to look at a more optimistic view of the world, as well as to, you know, to celebrate both the positives and the negatives of the Scandinavian democratic experience. I think it's a very kind of, I think other shows are more interested in either fundamentally entertaining you or thrilling you or adapting written novels, whereas I feel that Borgen is very much interested in the real world and in embracing that in a dramatic format. And I think it's quite, I don't think I've seen anything like it since either from Scandinavian drama in general, let alone Danish. You know, I think it really stands out from the pack.
And where do we place this all time, Bill?
I really need to make a list so I don't keep pulling these things out of midair. It's certainly in my top 25 all time, I would say.
That's a great show.
I think it's the finest Danish drama that I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot of good Danish drama. For Bertelsen is my favorite crime series of all time, hands down.
It's a great one.
But for Bertelsen, for Bertelsen is very structured. I mean, the first season one of For Bertelsen is very long. It's like 20 episodes, which for a European show is staggering.
It's unheard of.
The 2 and 3 are 10 episodes each. But season one, in order to maintain the interest and the suspense for 20 bleeping episodes, they did certain structural things that, you know, I don't go into in case any of you hadn't seen it, so that it maintained the suspense and it maintained the interest for 20 episodes. But those structural things were dramatic devices and not realistic. Where Borgen stands out, as we've been saying for the last 42 minutes, where Borgen stands out is that it's very realistic. You know, I don't get a sense anywhere of where they compromised on it being natural in order to make it dramatic. You know, it's just the situations themselves were very dramatic. You know, like I said, a situation involving, you know, coalitions that are constantly in flux and ministers who are part of coalition partners that, you know, make demands. That's inherently so dramatic that they didn't have to juice it. You know, it just fell naturally out of the situation. And I think that's unique.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, this kind of comes to the last question, or the last kind of point. You know, is this more of like a Danish The Wire, or is it more like a Danish The Waltons? And by that, I don't mean to say it is, you know, as soft as The Waltons. But, you know, was this something that was meant to be hard-hitting and important, or was it something that was simply meant to evoke a time and place and did it very well and happened to be very good along the way? I tend more to think that it is kind of the Danish version of The Wire, not that it's about crime, but in that it is pretty much the best thing that country's ever done on television, and is very important in terms of what it has to say and how it says it. Is very, very entertaining. Because let's not forget, you know, both Wire and Borgen, they may be great shows, well-written, very thoughtful series, but they're also remarkably entertaining, not just because they're funny at times, but they're very accessible. I don't mind things that are dense. In fact, I kind of prefer things that are dense. But if you're both dense and impenetrable or dense and boring, you've failed. You can derive a lot of pleasure from intellectual enterprises, but Borgen, I think, manages a rare feat. Not a lot of shows have done it. And that is getting, the thought and just plain fun at times. And a lot of that, I'm going to be honest, a lot of that is the main cast, the three characters, but also, the older, what was her name? The older woman that was the alcoholic reporter. Do any of you remember her name? Let's see. Hannah Holt.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
There was this one where I think it was in the third season.
Elizabeth Wolf, Pia Monk.
yeah. Benedicta Hansen's character. Somebody says, get this old woman off the stage, or someone, and you have to understand, she is one of the most respected journalists her country's ever had. She is probably the best political journalist outside of maybe her boss at TV1. And the way that she just tongue-lashes the kid that speaks out of turn to her is maybe my favorite moment in the whole show. It's a small moment, but I absolutely love that character. So, what do we think? Which is it? Is it serious? Is it entertaining? Or is it both?
Wants to be both. It's serious and it's entertaining.
Yeah, I think Bill's right. I think it's one of those rare examples of a show that manages to achieve both. It wants to be both, and most of the time it is.
And, I think if you look at some of the top shows, The Wire, The Sopranos, Breaking Bad, Mad Men, just to name a few, they all manage that. They're uproariously funny at times. Like, The Sopranos right there off the bat, what, no fucking ZD? And then, Mad Men doing, mixing humor with a suicide plot where, I just knew for a fact, I said, okay, he's going to try and kill himself, but that jag's not going to turn over, so he can't gas himself with the jag, because once again, a jag's going to fail, and sure enough. and Breaking Bad with a lot of the crazy shit they did in that show. So finally, I do want to ask, is there anything like character-wise or plot-wise that we haven't brought up yet? Maybe favorite stories, because I'm particularly a fan of that sequence during the second season where Brigitte goes on a self-appointed diplomatic mission and broker's peace. Maybe it's a little over the top in some ways, but it's just such a good bit of character work for everyone involved, and it really does show how cooperation and compromise can work, that I just really love it. So what about you guys? Bill?
Well, yeah, I was going to mention that one because, looking over all the episodes, I think, my favorite ones obviously are the one is about the mechanics of coalition. But next to that, I would say that my favorite ones are the ones about Danish foreign policy, you know, one of which was those. And then there was the issues with Danish soldiers in Afghanistan. And my real favorite, you know, only out of the, I mean, those were more important ones. But I have a lifelong fascination with Greenland. I mean, if opportunity presented itself, I would go and visit Greenland. And then when I was living in Denmark, I was, you know, I was asking my Danish friends what they thought about Greenland. And actually, most of them never thought much about it, except, you know, my friends are all music freaks. And one guy got me an LP of from a progressive rock band in Greenland that sang in the Greenlandic language, which is a variation of Inuit, rather than you know, anything from Europe or, you know, or Danish. So I like the Greenland episode especially, you know, for that. That was one of the early ones. It was definitely first season. I forget which one. So, you know, next to the coalition mechanics episodes, I really liked all the foreign policy episodes because, like, foreign policy is my thing anyway. I mean, even in the U.S. politics, you know, I care more about foreign policy than I do domestic policy, just naturally, because, you know, I'm a globalist.
Well, it's just like with me, my background in history and politics was a look at constitutional development and foreign policy. So, so there you go. So, what about you, Hugh? Any other stories or characters you want to mention before you get going?
No, not really. I mean, I think Bill's actually nailed it in terms of why I like the show and which episodes I like. And I happen to agree with Bill. I think the Greenland episode, the 100 Days, which was in season one, I think it absolutely is a standout episode. It's only the fourth episode in, but I think it's an absolute standout for a whole number of reasons. I just think it's really interesting that we do an English language show here and we talk about English language shows, and obviously that's a starting point for all the three of us. You know, even though we've then gone on to live in other countries and watch shows from other countries and watch them in other languages. I find it fascinating that Borgen, while it's made for a domestic audience in Denmark, and to be fair, at the convention at the time, Price and the head of DR, the station that aired it, did both say that they had not anticipated there being international interest in the show. You know, they genuinely thought that the only audience for this show would be at home in the first season, at least, and were thrilled, absolutely thrilled when it blew up worldwide. But that also fed into the later seasons because they were like, okay, we are writing this for a larger audience now, who, you know, we know there's an interest. And I feel like that's something that helps the show stand, you know, to be we're all placing it very highly in our personal pantheons. And I think that's partly why, because it's not just a commentary on real life. It also becomes a commentary on the way other shows in other countries see politics in their storytelling, you know? And I think that's a rare thing. That's a rare thing for a show from one territory to address bigger concerns beyond the territory. But when it happens, it's a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, especially coming from Hugh, because I think the UK was really the global launching pad for Beatleson, for Bourne, and for Bron Broen, the bridge. People I know in the U.S., you know, because the U.S. has always had a thing for UK TV, you know, on PBS.
Oh, yeah, going back to, like, the
60s
and Shakespeare stuff from brought over.
Yeah. So I think I think we're breaking up again. So there are people in the U.S. who, like, are attuned to what you guys are watching in the UK. And I think that's mm-hmm. why people in the US started getting interested in For Beatleson mm-hmm. and Bourne and Braun Braun.
Yeah, well, I will say that really it was UK friends of mine that kept mentioning this show Borgen to me. You gotta watch Borgen. You gotta watch Borgen. You gotta watch Borgen. And I was like, okay, well, I'm looking for a copy. I'm looking for a copy. I'm looking for a copy. And eventually, I put my hands on a copy, and they weren't wrong.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but it was, you know, the UK showed an interest in this stuff first before the US did, and then from the US, I think it flowed to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. But you know, I also have to say that, you know, the show was a bit of a soap opera at times, but it always did it in a really good way. You know, the initial stuff with Hesselbo's scandal and how. Casper found out about
right.
it, and then the back and forth between Casper and Katrina. You know, that's great. Actually, that works because there's a level of realism there because it's not about, you know, plot point convenience, but about hesitance to trust deeply rooted in something psychological that's going on with both of the characters, you know, the abuse that Casper had and her and Katrina's sense of needing somebody to trust because her own family life, everybody turned their backs the minute you disappointed them.
Right. Yes, it was very – that relationship was very well written and very well acted.
Yep. And before we go, I also have to say one last great story, and that was those two or three episodes at the beginning of the third season where Brigitta puts together a whole new party. That was fucking fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But, you know, I think that unless you guys have something else to add, that actually pretty much sums it up. Folks, is there anything that you guys want to add?
Nope. I think once I got Greenland in, I was satisfied.
and you know, the thing is that they had that wonderful. Go on.
No, I was just going to say, I am. There's not many people I've met and been photographed with that I'm super proud of having met, but Knudsen's definitely one of them. Absolute joy to be within, you know, 3 feet of her talking to her. I mean, she was an amazing presence on stage. Every interview I saw her be part of, because I saw her do her own solo panel with the crowd. I saw her be part of a three actress panel on women in Scandinavian drama, which was absolutely fascinating. And then, of course, there was the main panel on Borgen itself. And throughout the day, she was just perfectly happy to talk to people and chat with fans and just, you know, very,
wow.
very
giving. Yeah.
Yeah, very, very giving. And I thought that was remarkable. I mean, Sorensen was as well. She was great, too. I mean, they were both there. It was terrific. So, yeah, I think that's it's not often that somebody on a show is somebody, you know, that they live up to your expectations when you meet them. But I think Borgen's cast definitely, and the crew as well, definitely did.
Yeah, and I've met a lot of, you know, people over the years, you know, either accidentally meeting them or finding out they were at a convention and going to see if they had something to say, and then sometimes literally not on purpose getting a chance to chat with them afterwards. 90% of the time they end up being great, but every once in a while you have that disappointment. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that Knudsen was very good because I've heard others say that. There's someone on Facebook, I guess, that did an interview with her and said that she was their favorite interview that they'd ever done. Mm.
Yeah.
So that's quite something.
Yeah, very cool.
But you know,
I think that if we're all done, then this has been perfect. I said we wanted to keep this to about 45 minutes to an hour, and it's been an hour. So, you know, for those of you out there who have not seen this show, please go see the show. It's on DVD.
Really?
It is currently on Netflix. You can watch the first three seasons. There's only 30 episodes. It's very worth it. Yes, you can get a dubbed version. I beg you, don't. Watch
no, no,
watch
don't do that.
It with the subtitles.
Ooh, yes.
Watch it with the subtitles. But, yes, great show, guys. Thank you for coming on. We will be doing this
again in a few
months. Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
we'll do this again in a few months when we finally get around a person of interest. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. And on the count of three, we will say goodbye. One, two, three. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.